your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Journey Radio Show. I'm Jen Cruz, your host tonight, and we're going to be talking about Bigfoot. So, of course, we're showing up as the She Squatchers. And every time we do that, I've got my fabulous teammate, Jenna Grover, on the line. Hey, Jenna, are you there?
I am. Hello, everybody.
Awesome. I'm so glad you could join me tonight, and we can talk more about Bigfoot. But I'm excited that we're going to be talking about Bigfoot in Michigan, which is up north where we're in Minnesota. We're in Minnesota, and our guest is from Michigan. So I'm really excited about that. And this is we leave a week from today. A week from today. And are we ready? Are you ready, Jenna?
You know what? It's going so fast, there's no way I'm going to be ready. But oh well. Whoop, whoop.
We are leaving a week from today on our way to the ECBRO Virginia Bigfoot Conference. And She Squatchers will be opening the event on June 30th. We'll be on the stage doing our presentation, and there'll be two solid days of speakers. And there's some really awesome speakers who are going to be there. I'm really, really honored and humbled to be among them. Some really awesome people, so I can't wait to meet everybody and see the ones that we already know, see them again, and make all those other new friends as well. So if you're anywhere near Virginia, please come out and see us at the ECBRO Virginia Bigfoot Conference. You can find more information at virginiabigfootcon.com. And then July 6th and 7th, we'll be at Reamer, Minnesota at the Bigfoot Days Festival. So come on out and see us. And you know what? Check us out on Facebook. You can find more information about those events there at facebook.com/ She Squatchers Official. And you can also check out our website at shesquatchers.com at the events page. There's lots of information there. So now on with the show. We've got a special, special guest tonight. His name is Chuck Sutherland, and he's the co-founder of Michigan Sasquatch Project. He has been investigating the supernatural since 2012 and is committed to documenting the existence of the Sasquatch phenomenon. He also runs Shadow Lab Productions, a paranormal podcast, and Open Doors Paranormal, a group researching ghosts and the paranormal. So he's going to fit right in here at Para-X, since we are a paranormal network. So without further ado, let's welcome Chuck Sutherland. Hey, Chuck, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, good evening.
Hey, good evening, and welcome to the show.
So how is everybody tonight?
We're fabulous. Wonderful.
Excited to have you on, that's for sure.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I'm very pleased to be here, and I thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. I've been waiting all day, because I love seeing your posts on Facebook. I love seeing your pictures of all the amazing structures that you find in the woods, and you always write on there, time is now. I was wanting to ask you about that.
It was actually just like a tagline. I don't even know, where I coined that from, but somehow, somewhere along the way, I did that time is now, and it's kind of stuck. So it's kind of one of those things that just kind of stayed with me, and I just went for almost everything that I put behind the mic, and they'll forget that, the time is now. So, yeah, it's kind of corny, but it is what it is, and I've been using it now for almost a year. So
I'm going to be honest. That's why I asked you to come on the show.
that's funny. The time is now.
The time is definitely now. And it seems to me, like with anybody and just everything aside, paranormal or not, linear time is moving way, way much faster than it ever was. And as you can tell and you can see, at least to me, it just seems like time is cruising and cruising by. So that saying that time is now, you know, it's basically living here in the moment, in the now. So a lot of people dwell on the past, and you know, and you don't really can't count on the future, because obviously we're not all psychics who know what's going to happen in the future. So I always tend to say that time is now, especially when I find something or do something or say something. So I, to myself, it was just kind of corny.
No, I think it's great. You know what? We all should be living for today. I know I always like to. So definitely, I love that motto.
Well, I appreciate that.
It just screamed, he's our kind of people to me. That's what I saw when I saw that. He's our kind of people. So yeah. we're excited. You said you'd come on, and we're going to get to know you a lot better. So I'm excited. We got a lot to go over in the next hour. So can you tell us what got you started in the whole Bigfoot journey?
Sure. It's and it's kind of funny. You know, as I've told this story before, so this is kind of like a rehashing of, you know, other people that heard me talk and stuff and at conferences. It's kind of like, yeah, we heard it. But it started off as almost kind of like a joke, you know, to go out. I mean, I've always been a believer of Bigfoot, and I've always, you know, I was a little kid that would go to the library and check out the Bigfoot books, the Loch Ness Monster, anything that had to do with the supernatural paranormal. I was always intrigued by that. So I never really believed or thought it was this close to home or by me. And I actually had a fellow that I was working with, and he had told us about another gentleman that we knew had an encounter. And this encounter had taken place in Allen Park, Michigan. And I was kind of like skeptical of the whole thing. So what I did was, I started to pull out the iPhone and Google stuff, and when I Googled Bigfoot encounters and Bigfoot, you know, people that had sightings, and all this stuff came up in Michigan. And this one, I believe it was MichiganBigfoot.org came up. And there was a gentleman by the name of Bob Daigle who was running the site. So I just started corresponding with him and started sending emails back and forth. And he started sending me places and saying, well, you know what, Romulus, by the airport, there's one, and in Livonia, there's by one, and there's all these different BFRO sites. So it kind of opened up my mind to see that, wow, there's definitely stuff. It's a lot closer, you know, than what you would think. And kind of going back and forth with this gentleman, he's actually part of the Michigan Sasquatch Project now. But at the time, he had emailed me and invited me to go up to a conference that he was speaking at. He's a guest speaker. And a little bit about him, we call him the godfather of Bigfoot in Michigan, because he does so many conferences and does a lot of presentations. He's written a book, and he's got over 305 reports in 83 Michigan counties. And this is spanning over 100 years. Yeah, and it's all encounter reports. So he's taken some reports, and none of this is BFRO stuff. This is all stuff that he's documented, and he actually did a book. And it's a really, really, really great book. So this gentleman invited me up to the cafe and said, hey, you know what, why don't you come up to West Branch? I'm going to be speaking here. And I thought, okay. So I talked to my son, and I says to him, I go, hey, you want to go up to West Branch? Now, West Branch from where I live is about a 2.5-hour drive. And my son says, yeah, let's go. So we hopped in the Durango, and we went on down. And a little bit, like I said, a little bit of background, I did, and I do have other equipment that I was using for the paranormal stuff. And I had brought a FLIR camera and some night vision, just a couple of spotlights. And to be honest with you, I don't even know why I brought this. We were going to a conference, which was on a Saturday, and it was a daytime event. But just being me, I threw it in the back, and we drove out there, and we went to the conference. And then when I got there and I saw all these interesting and fascinating people sharing their encounters, and they had like a little town hall meeting and speakers that were telling their stuff, it was an opportunity for me, because I was so intrigued that this stuff is really, really happening around in Michigan. I said, well, how about if I start to kind of plug people and say, hey, would you be interested in doing an interview with me and sharing your story? And that's kind of like how that whole thing started at the conference. And so I met some really, really great people. And while I was there, one gentleman that I met, his name is Ernie Fargo, and he had a BFRO encounter back in 1991. And I asked him, I said, hey, would you be interested in doing an interview? And he says, you know what, I'll do you one better than that, Chuck. He goes, like, I'll take you right where it happened. I'm like, oh, bonus, you know. I'm like, all right, cool. So I was definitely on board with going ahead and doing that. So we had this great conference. So my eyes are like super wide big. I'm there and I'm seeing all these people brought in cast and prints and all this, and I heard all these incredible stuff. Well, they were doing a little mini expedition after the conference at the Rifle River. And so we got invited to go, and I said, all right, so me and my son go, and we follow these little caravans of all these researchers out to this Rifle River stuff. And as we get out there, I pulled out binoculars and handed them to my son. And so maybe there was like 7 or 8 of us, and we're walking around, and we're going there. And my son just happens to look at the binoculars and sees prints from where we were up top in the sandy area near the water's edge on the beach. And so these guys go nuts, and they just start scrambling, like, oh boy, you know. So I'm like, oh, great. So we all go down there, and we see them. And I do believe it's on my Facebook page. If it's not on there, it's on the Michigan Sasquatch on the page. So that was, like, the first little thing that had happened. So they're taking pictures, and they're, you know, doing all their little tests and all this other stuff. And so, again, this is great. It's a great Saturday. You know, everything is great. And now we went to the conference, and now we turn around and we went to the this little mini expedition. And, you know, that was it. It was nothing major or anything happened, but it was just so cool, you know. And I was having fun, and my son was having fun. So the gentleman that I had met earlier said, you know what, I can take you to show you where my encounter took place, and I can also take you up to my property where, you know, I believe there's activity in this and that and the other. So I'm now it's maybe 5 or 6 o'clock or something in the evening, and I'm like, it's another hour north of where we were. And I said, sure, we'll go. I mean, it's an opportunity. We've came this far, and we had a really great time at the conference, and we, you know, we had a great time at this little expedition. So now I'm about to go to this place with this other guy. And I just met him, so I didn't know him. So it's funny now because we're fast friends, and he is the other guy that's with me that, you know, we started the Michigan Sasquatch Project. But at the time, I didn't know any of this was going to culminate to any of, you know, where we are now. So we leave, and we head down to his property, and we get out there, and it's a beautiful area. And we're talking, you know, up north, and he has gated property, and it's over, you know, like 1,500 acres. So it's private. You can't get down there. You got to have keys to get on private. And it's like miles of trails and logging trails. And so, you know, it's been in their family for years. So they take in, you know, they're logging oak and hickory and stuff like that. So it's just beautiful land. And so we get out there and we get to the property. And as we get there, he pulls out all the stops for us. Really, really nice guy. And we hop in. He's got a cabin there, and he's got a house there and everything else. And, you know, they got all these different buildings and stuff there. So I'm just like, wow, this is what a great Saturday, you know, as we're getting there. We go hop in the machine. It's me, him, and his girlfriend, and my son. And we hop into this, it's a Rhino, which is like a side-by-side 4x4 machine. So all four of us, it's an open machine. And we all hop in this thing, and he's going to give us like a tour. So we drive on down, and we're going through. He opens the gate, and we get on one of these trails, and we start taking off. And again, it may be it's just evening time, but it's still daylight out. And as we're going through, and we're driving on this trail, and we're taking us through, he takes us all the way back, like to the furthest part of his property. And the Thunder Bay River goes through his property, and so it's just beautiful. And as we're going through, we're seeing elk, and we're seeing deer, and I'm seeing owls. I'm seeing all this wildlife, and I'm like, God, this is so, it was just awesome. Mm-hmm. So again, we kind of get down there, and we get to the furthest part where we can go on this trail, and we have to park, and we get out, and we're going to walk. And as we get out, and we're starting to walk, he's taking the lead, and he's out in front. My son is behind him. Now, in Michigan, there's a lot of leaf litter on the ground. So when you walk, you know, you're stepping on branches and leaves and everything else. So it's a little bit noisy as you're walking through. So So he's in front, my son's behind him, and his girlfriend's in front of me are walking. And it's the first thing that I actually heard was this loud, like, I want to say like it was like a bass drum. You know, it was like a boom, boom, and it was just really, really loud that you could feel it. Almost, to describe it, it almost felt like something jumped out of the tree that was really, really heavy, even though that's not what happened. But it was just really loud. I'm like, you know, at the time, I'm just like, what was that? I heard it, and she heard it, and she looked at me, and she's like, did you hear that? I'm like, yeah. And they're walking ahead, so they didn't really hear it. And it's getting a little bit darker, and we're going through down this, like, cedar swamp area, and we go down there. So being me, I said, you know, should we do a tree knock? And I actually grabbed, like, a tree branch and went and hit it against the tree and did a tree knock. And nothing happened. There was nothing, you know, nothing happened or anything else. And I'm just like, oh, okay. So as it's getting darker, he's like, you know what, we better start heading back. So we actually get back, and we get back into the machine, and we start coming back and go down to the trail. And this is kind of where it gets a little bit surreal, and everything starts to change. It's now dark. And so I did have the FLIR with me, and I did have the night vision. It was in the back with my son, and I had a couple spotlights. But he has headlights on this machine, too. So as we're driving through, I got my iPhone going. He's got his iPhone going, my son. And we're driving on this trail. We're coming back. And I'm shining things, and I'm seeing animals, and I shine. It just, to me, I mean, my eyes must have been as big as dinner plates because I was just excited. It was just so nice to be out there. It was a beautiful night. And it was April 29th was when this conference was. So we're driving, and we're coming back. And as we're coming down this trail, all of a sudden, we see this tree that is slammed, and it wasn't a full tree. It was a portion of a tree that got slammed in the center of the trail on the same trail that we came in on. And so when we drove in, this wasn't there. And so as the machine pulls up to it, we get about 3 or 4 feet from it, and we stop for a second, and we get out of the machine. And as we get out, that's when it hit me, and it hit him at the same time, is the smell. And so here we go again. It's like, went to the conference, you know, went to this little expedition, my son found a print, and now we're on this property, we're in the middle of the woods, we're on thousands of acres, you know what I mean, that ties into this area, and we're on private land, and we're out in the middle of nowhere, miles in, and there's nobody around, there's nobody there, there's nothing there. And so there's this tree that's in the center of the trail, and it was like, the way to describe it would be to me like lightning had struck a tree and it had sheared off a big, sharp sliver of it. And this sliver had come center into the trail down. It was a pretty big piece, but it wasn't, you know, you hear a lot of stories and stuff where you'll see, or you've seen pictures too, I'm sure, where they'll take a tree upside down and the roots will be up and they'll slam it down. And you'll see, it wasn't anything like that, but it was actually just a big portion of the tree that was right in there. We couldn't pass. There was no way to get past it, you know, to get around it. And as we got outside of the vehicle, I smelled the smell, and I looked right at him, and his name's Ernie, and I said, do you smell that? And he's like, is that? I go, can you smell that? And so now a big smile comes across my face, because I'm dumb at the time, I don't really know. And I'm even more excited, because I'm like, oh. And I think of every, you know, silly Monster Quest episode and every one of those mountain monsters, any show that I've ever seen that was on TV, people describing the smell. And I'm thinking in my brain, oh my God, I'm smelling the smell for the first time. And so I says to him, grab your gun. And he had an AR-15 pistol. And so he goes back and he grabs his gun. So we walk over to where this thing is at in the middle of the trail. And you could smell, it was so intense that it was like thick. And most people, like when they describe like this wet dog smell and all that, it wasn't really like that. The smell that, you know, that we had encountered smelt like, I always say it's like brimstone. It was sulfury. It smelled like sulfur. And it was so thick, and it was just like right there. And it was just right there and around us. And in retrospect now, you know, one of the dumb biggest mistakes I think that we did, and, you know, you second guess yourself, is we should have stayed in the area. Because I think in my heart that there was something that was really there, right there at the time. And I think something had placed that obviously in a trail with some kind of message saying, hey, get out of here or whatever, or to get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking at him. I reach over to this tree stump that's in the ground, and I bear hug it. And I try to pull it out to lift it, and I can't. I can't pull this thing out. And I'm not a small guy. I'm kind of strong. And so I'm trying to pull this out, and I can't even budge it. So I look at him again, and he's scratching his head and moving his hat sideways, and he's trying to figure it out. And again, and I say this a lot, and I say, but that's when I noticed it in his face, and he's like, we better go. And I seen fear. And I seen fear in his face, and I thought, oh crap. I better be scared too, because I don't know. I'm all excited. I'm like, oh, this is great, you know, and all this stuff. Uh-huh. And he's like, yeah, we better go. And as this is all happening, so we get back into this machine and we have to back out and go around. And we actually went and cut through this part of the woods on the side and come around and went around it and got around it and was heading back. And as we're heading back, he has a cabin that's on the property too. And so he was going to go check out this cabin and before we went back over to the house. And again, it's pitch black dark. And so as we're getting there, we get up to this cabin. He goes out, and my son is photoing or videoing this with his iPhone. He goes with him, and I have to use the bathroom. So I'm like wandering 20 yards away off to the, and everything is dark. You can't see nothing. So I'm wandering over to go to the bathroom, and his girlfriend, there's an outhouse over there. She goes over there to go into the outhouse. And as he's coming up to the porch of the cabin, he can't find the key. So wherever the key was to this is now, it's missing. And the wood that was stacked on the back of this, like a little small, tiny little porch area to the cabin, mm-hmm. is all thrown about and out in front and then disarrayed. And so
just kind of tossed out?
I would assume that it was stacked. And so somebody had, like, grabbed it and, like, just knocked it all down, and it was kind of, like, pushed out of there and pushed around. And apparently there was a key that was somewhere there, too, and he couldn't find the key, so the key was missing. So he had another set of keys, and he's reaching in his pocket, and he's going ahead, and he's going to open up this the door to the thing. And as he's getting ready to open the door, then I hear my son is going like, Dad, Dad, you know, and I'm going to the bathroom. I hear something behind me, and I can hear something moving behind me, and everything is dark. And granted, it was probably a deer. It was probably a squirrel, because when it's at nighttime and out there, you know, any little animal sounds like it's, you know, it's something bigger than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, Dad, Danny, I see him as I'm walking closer, and he's like pinned up against the thing. They heard a growl, and my son caught it on record. They heard some kind of growl. I didn't hear it. Ooh. You know, I wasn't close enough for it to happen. So as he opened the door to the cabin, he looks in there, and there was nothing there. There was nothing, you know, the cabin was the cabin, but he was just checking it out. So it was just another one of those things that it was odd, and it was strange, but basically that was it. So I'm still kind of like on cloud nine. Because I'm just thinking, boy, what a day, you know, mm-hmm. everything, you know, had went this far and everything else is great. So we actually hop back in the machine and we go back to the house. When we get back to the house, we're pretty much, everybody's like on edge and like excited. My son's inside and he comes out, him and his girlfriend, and I guess they went to a concert the night before the conference. So I just met the guy and he's like, well, you guys can stay in the back room and we're going to go to sleep. Nice to meet you. There's bedding and everything in there, and I'll see you in the morning. I'm like, really? We just did this. We just got here to this, and you're saying goodnight? And
oh, my gosh.
So they went to bed. So I had the FLIR, and I had the night vision, and then I had my son that was inside. So I'm like, well, heck, I'm here. We're here now. I went out there to the back of the property, and I started looking. And I'm looking around, and I'm trying to see stuff. And I see, you know, and a lot of people don't like talking about this stuff. I see an orb. And it was basically like a red-colored orb, reddish-orange, and I can see it with my naked eye. And then when I put the FLIR on it, it's not showing any heat. So there's no heat that's coming off of this thing. When I put the night vision on it, I look at it. The night vision actually does pick it up. So there's no heat or anything coming off there, and I'm fascinated. And I'm looking at it, and I'm looking back and forth and whatever. So I can see my son in the – it's like a fishbowl window, you know, where you can see, I can see him inside and he's pacing back and forth. So I go inside because I want somebody to acknowledge it with me. So I said to him, I'm like, hey, Jagger, I'm like, why don't you come on out and take a look at it? He's like, nope. I'm like, come on, just come on out for a second. I just want you to look at this through the night vision and just put your eyes on it. So I finally talked to him and convinced him into going outside and looking at it. And as a kid, we go, we look at it. He sees it, goes, oh, see it, bye. And he went back inside.
Oh, no. Can I ask how old he was?
He was 14.
Oh, okay.
And so he just, yep. So, I mean, it's a lot. It was a lot for me to take in, so it's definitely a lot for him. And he's 16 now. He just had his birthday. So
happy birthday.
So anyways, there you go. Thank you. And he is inside, and I'm back outside. So I go back out there, and this is where it kind of gets a little weird, too, you know, as far as I don't know how to describe it. I mean, the different communities with the flesh and blood and the woo, this is where it takes that kind of woo side of things, where it's just bizarre. And I don't even know how to explain it or say it, so I just kind of go through with it. And so as I'm looking, I don't see anything, nothing's happening. But what I'm doing is I'm hearing things, and I'm hearing things behind me, around me and everything else. And this is the first time that I'm there at the property. And this is a place that I've been going to now for like, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, but this is my very first time there. So I'm not really familiar with everything. And then that's when it hits me. And I know people talk about being zapped or this and that or infrasound, but what happens next is this incredible, intense, terrifying fear. And I make jokes about it, you know, when I speak about this, because I always say, because I am somebody that I like to be scared. You know, I have no problem running around through cemeteries at night with a camera and going out there. And I like scary movies and all that kind of stuff. So in my brain, every scary movie that's ever happened to me, you know, like I always say, it's like, you know, you definitely, Michael Myers is out there, Jason's out there, something's out there, but I had this enormous, intense fear. In all my years I've ever been, I've been in weird situations. I've never been so scared in my life, and I was petrified. I was literally thinking, something is going to get me. Something wants to hurt me, and I kept feeling this, and I kept feeling this. So I'm walking along the side of this house, and I get to the back of the house, and it gets a little weirder still. So as I'm hearing noises of probably just animals that were, you know, just moving around, but it's intensified everything, I am getting more and more scared. You know, and I can feel it in every essence of me. I can feel it. At the side of the house, there's steps that go up to the house, and there's this light post that's on the side of the house. So as I go up to the side, and I'm slowly like working my way up to that thing, to the steps that go back into the house, all of a sudden, with this intense fear that's happening, I notice the light starts to shake. And it's like screwed on the outside, just like a regular lamppost that's on there, and it starts to vibrate, and it's going like that. And I'm looking at it, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, what's going on? What is that? And it just starts to just like shake, and I'm totally scared, and I'm seeing this thing shake, and I can't figure out what, for the life of me, what the heck is, you know, what is going on? And then the silly part is all these moths, and I don't even know how to describe this, it just sounds so silly, but these moths started flying around me. And I want to say it's because the light was right there. You would think that, you know, moths and mosquitoes and all that kind of stuff, they would congregate around by the light.
Yeah.
These things started, like, flying around my head and everything else. And I at that point, I'd had enough. And I just walked into the door, and I came in, and my son's standing right there. And I unzip my jacket, and like two or three of these moths fly out. He's like, what is that? I'm like, I don't even know. You know, it's just weird. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And so I'm inside, and I'm looking at my son, and I'm like, we got to go out there. You know, we got to go see this. We came to this conference, and that's all we were going to do. Now we're on this guy's private property, and we have literally 1,500 acres, and we can go do whatever it is. I want to go. But to me, at the time, I'm like, this is a chance of a lifetime.
Heck,
you know, something
yeah.
happened. I smelled it. You know, something happened. I smelled it. So I feel like I'm getting like these little small validations for my day of even going out there. And my son's like having no part of it. He's like, no, Dad, I don't want to go. And I looked and I seen he was really scared. And I wondered about that if, you know, it had affected him too. Because even later that night at like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, I remember him waking up and, you know, he's like, let's go. And I'm like, go where? He's like, let's go, Dad. It don't feel right. You know, he wanted to leave, and he really wanted to go. So at this point, I give him this cheesy speech about, you know what, your dad's here, we're going to go here. And I didn't bring no guns or nothing with me because I wasn't expecting to be in the woods. I was just going to a conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we got to go out there. I got to go out there. This is what I came here for. I might, something could possibly happen and blah, blah, blah. And then again, when
Chuck,
I looked at Jagger.
Chuck,
yes, ma'am.
We have to go to our half a show break. So can you please hold that thought? And we'll be right back after these 2 minutes.
Thank you.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, your host tonight. This is the Journey Radio Show, and we're showing up as the She Squatchers, Jenna Grover and I. And so check us out at shesquatchers.com and thejourneyradioshow.com. We're here tonight with our special guest, Chuck Sutherland, and he's with the Michigan Sasquatch Project. And he was just telling us about this first experience he had with looking for Sasquatch. So continue, please, with your story, Chuck. It was fascinating.
Well, it's actually coming to the end of that. So basically, in a nutshell, I looked at my son, and he was scared. And after I gave him this speech about, you know, well, I need to go out there and all that, I just looked at him and I closed the floor and I closed the other one and I just grabbed him and gave him a big hug and I said, come on, let's go to bed. I don't need to go out there. And we didn't. And that was pretty much the end of that first night of what happened. But what it did do was actually, it just totally piqued my interest because I couldn't explain a lot of the things that had happened. And that's when the whole addiction kind of took place. After that point of being out there and getting back home and everything else and just recycling everything that had happened in that whole day, I started going up to the property, up to his property, and we started going out there and looking and started going out there because I knew, like I said at the time, I'm pretty darn sure there was some crazy guy that decided he was going to slam a tree trunk thing down in the middle of a trail not knowing that we were going to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't explain it. I couldn't explain the smell and the weird stuff that had happened, and especially the fear, because I've never, and even to today, being out in the woods as much as I've been, I've never had that fear again that was like that. So I started going up every chance I could, and every weekend and every holiday and everything, going back up to his property and hanging out there till I really got the gist, you know, of what it was. And at one time, we were actually sitting in the machine. I remember we were looking and we were just talking back and forth, and knowing that what was happening here, I said, you know what, you got Bluff Creek in California in the Patty thing, which has put California on the map. You got Salt Fork in Ohio, which has put Ohio on the map. And I was saying, we need to get away to get Michigan on the map and let people know that, you know, there's something that's going on here. And that's when we both came together and kind of coined the phrase of the Michigan Sasquatch Project. And what it was going to be about is us going out and just documenting everything and collecting more data and research and just going out. And what I do on my Facebook page and everything else, I go out in the woods and I just take pictures, everything that I can find, everything that I can see. And then I post it and I share it and share it with the people. I don't say, oh, this is Bigfoot or this is Sasquatch. I'm not one of those guys. I'm not one of those guys that turns around and takes a picture and circles it 8 times and says, you know, this is a blob squatch and this is that. I let the people look at it and they can make a decision for themselves what it is. And I don't make any claims. It's a really, really tough community on both ends of this, Bigfoot researchers. And there's a lot of naysayers and there's a lot of mean, hateful people that will attack you. So everything that I see and everything that has happened, you know, because we do have audios, we found audios, we found prints, you know. My son actually photographed one. And so there's a lot of stuff that's happened after that point. It was like a whirlwind of going out and experiences. So I know we only have a little bit of time, so I'm going to go over a couple of things that kind of happened on the property that was up there before that kind of intrigued the whole thing. The funny part about this is I went there on April 29th and got invited by Bob Daigle to check out this conference. The following year, the next year, I was actually a speaker at the conference. Within that 1 year time, I've collected so much data and had so many different things that had happened from that one night. I was actually asked to go back and speak there, which was such an amazing, you know, experience. I got to meet Dr. Jeff Meldrum and spent the weekend with him and picked him up at the airport, and he stayed with us. And what an incredible scientific mind, you know, that being able to have that experience was just, it was worth everything.
Nice.
So getting back to some of the things that happened, the gentleman that I had did this with, he is a backpacker. He's a hiker. He's an avid hunter. And he's 46 years old. And he had a BFR encounter back in 1991. It's documented and everything else. So it was kind of, we're totally opposites. So we're kind of like Laurel and Hardy. You know, we're not two peas in the same pod. I bring a different thing. You know, I'm a lot more open-minded to stuff that has happened, and he's more of a flesh and blood kind of guy. He's a hunter.
Yeah, just kind
of
cut and dry.
He has a lot of outdoor experience. So his mind works in a way that mine doesn't, and he will definitely try to explain away stuff. But there's just so many things that have happened that you can't really put a label on it or explain it. And I'll give you a couple of those examples. One time, being out on the property, because he doesn't, people talk about the zap, being zapped and this and that, and I'm not really too keen on knowing whether or not the infrasound and how all that works. But what I can tell you is that it was in the daytime. We just got up to the property. It was on a Friday. We had been maybe there an hour. And we walked out to the back of the property. He was walking out there. And we're looking at this tree structure thing that was up. And he's touching this tree structure and looking at it. And I just happened to look at him at that time. And he almost fainted. And then he almost fell down. And he goes, man, I don't feel right. You know, and I'm like, what? He's like, I don't feel right. And he almost collapsed. And it was really weird. So I had to help him actually get back to the house and walk him back. And there was really no explanation for it. Again, this guy is not some sickly guy. He's in shape. You know, this is what he does. He's been to Australia. This guy's backpacked all over. And in fact, he's going in July. He's doing an expedition with Jeff Meldrum again. And what is it? Cliff Brockman. I think they're going to be in Mount Hood in Oregon. And they're going out there for they're going out there for a couple of days, and they're going to be out there. So he's going to definitely put, you know, MSP or Michigan Sasquatch Project on the map and go out there for that. But anyways, just giving you a little kind of intro to him. He, Jagger, and another gentleman named Mark Kern, they're all part of this Michigan Sasquatch Project. And so once we coined this and started this, we just kind of collaborated and just started going out and trying to find everything we could. With that being said, that one experience that he had where he kind of, I guess you would say, he got zapped, he's never had that experience again. And it was just one of those weird things. I thought, because I didn't know him that well, I thought, well, maybe he's a sugar diabetic. Maybe he has health issues or, you know, low blood sugar. But I knew when we went out there, we stopped. We had pizza, Gatorade, Chain of Earth. So it wasn't like the guy didn't eat. And so can't really explain, you know, how that happened or what happened to him. But it's never happened again or since. And I've never had, you know, that kind of experience. But there's certain areas on the property where we're out there, and this goes back to the kind of like the strange occurrence stuff where he started putting out trail cams. So I'm not really into the trail cam thing. And he, you know, he had over 13, 14 trail cams he was putting out there. And to see what it is, he's always telling me, well, you know, Bigfoot makes mistakes. And I always heard that when you want him to go away, and anytime you talk to anybody that has a problem, you put these cameras on your house, the activity stops. It keeps them away. So I told him, I'm like, no, don't put them out there. You got to scare them away and blah, blah, blah. So he started putting them out there. But there's this one particular area, and there's a couple of things that had happened in this one area too. But we could put a camera and put it on this area, and when you put it out there, it will not record. And it's just really, really strange. Nothing will, it just won't work. You bring the camera, you take it back, and you get to the house, and it's working fine. Change the batteries, everything, take it back out there and put it out there, and the next day go, and it just will not record. So we took a digital recorder, put it out there, put it out in the same area where this is at, the digital recorder, the batteries will drain, and it just will not record. And so I bring these things up to him. I'm saying, well, how do you explain that? How do you explain the being zapped? How do you explain, you know, the certain things of that? So his scientific brain will be like, well, maybe it's a defect of this, or maybe it's that. I still kind of tend to think that it's something unexplainable. You know, I don't want to put a label on anything, but I will say that it's just bizarre. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it leads more to the mystery.
Definitely.
Out in this property, and we were actually in the back of the property. We had set up like a little campfire, and we're out there having a little campfire. We're actually listening to, I believe, Sasquatch Chronicles, and we're listening to, you know, podcasts, and where I had the FLIR, and I had the night vision. We had a chair set up. We had a little fire going, and I brought a REM pod. I'm sure you know what one of those are. So I had brought a REM pod, and I set it up like on this little hill, probably maybe 30 yards from us, and it kept going off, and it was lighting up, and it was beeping, and it was lighting up. So I would take my night vision, and look, there's nothing around. I would take the FLIR, and I'm looking, and I can't see nothing. Everything is cool. The only thing that was there was this big, huge oak tree that was there, and it was a big, massive one to the right, and everything was cool, blue, dark. So it wasn't, nothing was emitting any heat, but I couldn't figure out why this REM pod kept going off. And it would do it for maybe 15 minutes, and then it would stop. And then it would do it, you know, another half hour would go by, and it would start doing it again. And so I got up one time and went and left it and got closer. I'm like, there's nothing there. There's no reason that this thing should even be going off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, me and him and his girlfriend are there, and they're getting ready to go to bed. And I'm sitting at the fire, and I'm listening to the podcast. It's nighttime. And they turn in, and they go in, and I'm sitting out there by myself. And all of a sudden, I hear an owl. And I hear an owl that's coming, like, to the right of me. And I can hear this, you know, it's one of those who cooks for you owls. It's like, ooh, 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 ooh. And you can hear it. And you like that, huh? And so I can hear it to the left of me. And as I'm listening to it, I'm like, oh, that's crazy. And it's getting closer. So it was really cool. Then all of a sudden, I hear a different owl with a different tone on the right side of me. So as this one's sounding off, it seemed like 25 seconds later, this other one would sound off. So now I'm hearing one on the left. Now I'm hearing one on the right. And it's about every 30 seconds to a minute. And they're getting closer. And I thought, wow, this is kind of weird. And at the time, I didn't know anything about mimicking or any of those other kind of crazy stuff. I'm just out there. And all of a sudden, I hear the third owl. And the third owl is right in front of me to where that REM pod is set up at, but further, you know, way further out there. We're talking hundreds of yards. But you could hear it. And they started getting closer and closer. So one would go off, and then the weird-sounding one, which was more of a higher-pitched one, making the same kind of sound, but it was just a higher pitch. It just didn't seem natural. It didn't seem right. So when the hair started to stand up on the back of my neck, I'm like, this is weird. You know, I ended up going back and going into the house, and, you know, I had enough of it. I did that. So just strange things, you know, had happened. So as time had gone on, one of the things that really started to resonate with me was we started finding these structures. And as we're going out on the trails, now a lot of researchers, you know, well, and a lot of people post a lot of stuff on Facebook. And when I did my presentation at the conference, I basically told people that, you know, a lot of them, I'm sure they're not happy with what I said, but a lot of those arches in Michigan is snow loads. When snow gets on there, they form that arch, and it actually weighs it down, and you can see it. But when people see them, they're like, oh, that was Bigfoot, or this and that, or an X. People see so many of those X's and big ones and all this other stuff, and everybody naturally, I don't want to be that guy and don't want to be labeled say, oh, no, this is Bigfoot or this is that. But we were finding a bunch of weird structures, but the ones that fascinated me were the asterisks and the star structures. And some of these were 6, 5, and 6, 7 pointed stars, and they were interwoven, and some were higher off the ground, and it's impossible, totally impossible and probable to fall from the sky. Natural tree fall, it just can't fall because, again, and I'm sure you've seen some of the pictures of the ones that I posted, and I have several, and we found so many on the property. This is what really intrigued me, and I'm like, what is making this? Because, again, these are perfect geometric stars, and they're beautiful. I mean, you're looking at it, and you're like, whoa, you know, what is this? And something had to put this star and then put this one there and then put this one under that one and put this one over that one. So when we started finding those, I got, you know, pretty excited, and that's when we started documenting and started taking pictures and really started paying attention, you know, to what's going on. And again, it's everybody has a theory. And what I tell people, there's no real experts or anybody out there because we don't have a body. And you got a ton of researchers and a ton of people, and I think it's great, everybody that's out there that's looking and sharing what they find. But that was the pivotal point for me, was finding those structures out there, and I couldn't explain it, and I couldn't figure it out. And I know darn well, there's nobody hoaxing. You're not going to go on somebody's private land, walk, you know, 2 miles into private land and say, okay, let's make a star structure here.
Yeah, you know, maybe, just maybe someone will come out there and check it out, think it's Bigfoot, exactly. Right?
Yeah, and it's really, you get shot if you go on somebody's property, you know. And I just couldn't think that they knew that I was going to be there, or Ernie was going to be there, and that they were going to build these. But one of the things that I did notice about them is that they're always made to be seen, meaning that they're on the logging trail. And so if you're on a two-track or if you're on a trail, you will find these 7 to 10 feet from the trail. And so I tried to figure out what, you know, what is the meaning of this? Is it territorial? Is it artwork? Is it a mating ritual? What is this? What do these mean? And finding them, I was just like blown away. Now, I've never found any of the teepee structures, and that came later. And later the year, that looking in my area where I started researching out by me, I realized that Bigfoot is a lot closer than what you think. So driving 3 hours to go up north to find this stuff that we were finding, I started finding stuff by the parks, by the forest. You know, I'm surrounded by 7 lakes. So I started finding stuff out by me. And that's when things really got, you know, more intense for me and more exciting, because now I'm finding star structures here. And I'm finding teepee structures. There's a thing that I had put out there, and I called it Bigfoot Town or the Village, where I found 10 of these structures. And I have a good friend of mine, and she's in Canada, and she's found over 500 of these teepee structures. And some of these things are so big, you could drive a car into them. And they're structures that, you know, something or someone made them. And so I think my last count, I think I was up to 23, and that I found of these things in certain areas, and you're finding them, and they're big structures. But again, people call them hunting blinds. People call them all kinds of things because nobody really knows what they are. They're not big enough to live in. They're not built for shelter or shelter you from the wind. So it's kind of like, what is it? And I've talked to different rangers and park rangers, and I've had a lot of people come up to me from the conference and say, you know what, it could be Boy Scouts. You know, Boy Scouts do this thing in youth groups where they make these and do that. Or maybe it's homeless people that make it. And you know what? Mm-hmm. It could very well be. You know, I leave all the cards on the table. And I don't say, oh, no, it's got to be Bigfoot.
Yeah, or what you it have did was to.
Sure. And it just made me want to get out more. Because it seemed like every time I would go, I would find more things. Every time you would go out there, I was finding prints. And there's a lot of prints that we had found. I found some pretty good ones. And then when I got the opportunity to spend the weekend with Dr. Jeff Meldrum, you know, I showed him a lot of the stuff they found, and he educated me, you know, and just basically, you know, no, that's not a print. You know what I mean? It's just that I don't see any thermal rangers, but, you know, mid-tarsal branch and stuff. But his scientific mind, you know, it's got to be, you have to have evidence. So he comes at it from a totally different angle, and I respect him, you know, intensively. But I'm looking at things that I've found and things that people post and things that people put out there, and that, you know, not everything is Bigfoot. Not everything is Sasquatch. There's a lot of people in the community that want to believe everything, you know, glyphs and things they find on the ground and everything is that. And that was one of the things that directional, we didn't want to go. We didn't want to be that person that is telling you definitively, this is what it is or this is what made it. You know, because nobody really has the proof. You know, there's no evidence backing any of it other than a photograph or, I mean, it's just one of those things that I didn't want to get behind and try to, I'm not out here to convince people. I'm not out here to try and say, this is what this is. What we're out here to do is to collect information. What we're out here to do is to research and try to maybe call more people to Michigan and kind of give an idea so people can say, you know what, there's a lot of stuff that's happening in Michigan, just like you do when you think of, you know, the Patty thing. And out there,
sure.
There's a place that's about a 7 to 10 minute walk from my house, and it's Dodge Park. And one day, and this was last June, my son and I were out there, and he's way back behind in the back, and this is where he actually photographed one that was about maybe 100 yards away from me. I never saw it. I was oblivious, and I didn't see it. But my son saw something black, really jet black and dark, and so he took a couple of pictures with his iPhone. Later on that day when we got home, he's like, Dad, I saw something. I was out there, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I shared it at the conference. I haven't really shared it with social media and put it out there, only because I didn't want the ridicule. I didn't want anybody to go, oh, yeah, that's you in a suit or that shit.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, look, this is something that my son took. I'm not out there. There was no guy that was trying to hoax me. He just happened to know that day on a Sunday I was going to be out there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, and do that.
Yeah.
So with that being said, it was just more things started happening and putting myself, I'm skipping around and I'm missing a bunch of stuff because I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, we're running out of time. And I know, you know, we probably got about 5 minutes or so. But that was one of the things. So I guess the whole Michigan Sasquatch Project, you know, culmination of it all has been the beginning, how it started, and where we're at now. Again, he's going out to spend some time with Dr. Meldrum again and Cliff Brockman. And I'm trying to set up a thing for us to go to as a place where there's these caves in Hillsdale, Michigan. So we're trying to line up an expedition in July and go out there and do that. But I've had so much stuff that's going on since I did this last conference here in April. I haven't really been out in the woods. I've had a lot of personal things with my business and selling the house and doing all this stuff. It's like, oh my God, it's killing me because I want to get in the woods. And everybody is like, you know, you're not posting anything. And I'm like, well, of course not. I haven't been out in the woods. I haven't seen anything. And I'm not one of those guys that's just going to post a bunch of garbage and put out there. I want, if I find something that I think is interesting, then obviously I'll put it out there for people to see. So it was actually this weekend we're supposed to go up north to the property. And I haven't been there since. We were there with Dr. Jeff Meldrum, and that was the conference, which was this last April. So it's
been
like 2 months.
Excited. Are you just super excited?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just like, I just feel so, I just want to get out in the woods, and I want to get there. And because things have happened, and you know the property, it's like, you know, a few months have gone by, And, what kind of sucked is when we were out there and we had a thing set up to go out with Dr. Meldrum, our machines, we got hit with a snowstorm that weekend. So it was like feet of snow. Our 4x4s, our machines, couldn't get on the trails. We couldn't get out there. We couldn't get out to do anything. It was totally snafu. So I'm like, oh, my God. We have the opportunity of a lifetime to go out there to show him all this stuff and document and go out there with him. And we couldn't get out there because the snow had lasted longer, and then a snowstorm had came through. Where the year before in April, there was no snow in the ground. So it's kind of hit or miss. You know, with Michigan, it was just like, what a bummer. You know, yeah. So instead, we bought all of his poems that he brought with him. You know, we'll find something else to do, you know, to have some fun with it. But I'm looking forward to get into the woods this weekend. If everything pans out, you know, we can get out there. But I have probably another hour and a half worth of things that I could be sharing with you and keep going on and on and on. It's just it's little things and stuff that had happened and different kind of experiences. We had a, let's see if I can squeeze this one in real quick. We had a thing with the same area where I was telling you about where the cameras and the digital recorders didn't work. It was in the middle of the day. This was like last June or July. And we were out there, we were walking through this area. And as soon as we walked up to go through this area, we heard this loud bang, bang, just like that. It was a wood knock. But it was quick and it was loud. And it got our attention really, really quickly. And I'm like, hey, again. And we heard it. So we fell back into the tree line for a second. And then we just went up to this hill and walked through it for a couple hours. It took us a while to walk through, over and around. Nothing happened. Didn't see nothing. And as we were coming back and we were leaving, this is probably 2-3 hours later, as we were leaving, same way we were going out to be my normal self, I put my hand up in the air and I go, thank you, just like that. And then it goes, bam, bam, just like the same thing again. And it was just really, I can't explain it.
Nice.
There's nobody there. There's nothing there. And it was just another one of those vindications or validations. And it's just like, there's something here that's paying attention to us. When we stay off the machines on these trails and we just walk through, it's a totally different atmosphere. So
wow, that is so awesome, Chuck. Thank you so much. This has been Chuck Sutherland with the Michigan Sasquatch Project.com. So make sure you go check that out and follow him all over the place where he's at, because he's got so much to share, and I'm hoping that Chuck will come back on the show another time. Will you, Chuck?
I would love to. And like I said, we do have, our website is it's michigansasquatch.com, and I think our email is michigansasquatch@yahoo.com if anybody, but you can go there and look at the stuff, all the pictures and things that I was talking about. There's tons and tons and tons of beautiful structures and stuff that we found.
Wonderful. And this has been the Journey Radio Show. We are the She Squatchers. Squatch out, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Good night.